Last week I mentioned I was going to have something about praying, about prayer, and who do we identify as believers? Do we have a prayer life? Prayer is like breath is to the physical body. It's the life that's within us. It's what gets us to communicate with God. But there's two sides to prayer, and I'm going to get into that. And I've got some really good scriptures on it. And I also have my own input in it. Obviously, I write a lot of it anyway, little notes down, and I go from there. So before I get into this message, I'm going to ask you all to rise up, and we're going to pray and ask the Lord's input in this. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace. I thank you for the boldness that we can have through the power of your Holy Spirit that enables us to do things that are not likely to do under our own strength. So, Father, Holy Spirit, you will show up here that everybody will know, Lord Jesus, that they've been empowered from a power on high to live out this life that you have given, that you have redeemed us to, Lord Jesus. This born-again experience that you've given us, this newness of life, Lord, you will help us to be that shining light on a hill that is not covered. Lord, you will let us be a beacon to all the people around us so that we can lead many to become sons and daughters of glory. In Jesus' name I ask this. You may be seated, and amen also. There's a prayer we learned as from the time I was a young kid. We always prayed it. I'm going to repeat it. It's in German, and I never knew what it meant. We repeat it, and I'm sure they had good intentions when they taught us that prayer because the words are deep. When I became saved, it's like, how could I have not seen this? And the prayer goes something like this. It's a Martin Luther prayer. It was, Christi Blut und Gerechtigkeit, das ist mein Schmuck und Ehrenkleid, damit will ich vor Gott bestehen, wenn ich in Himmel werden gehen. That is proclaiming, that's the only thing that will get me into the kingdom. That's how I'm going to stand. If Satan is going to be there accusing you of anything that you have done wrong, and believe me, we're all going to be guilty if he is there accusing you, the only thing you'll be able to say, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every sin. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he covered not only your sins, and remember, your sins were future committed. They haven't been committed yet. He died for the sins of the whole world. So, in essence, what he did, he corrected what Adam destroyed. He made right again. So he destroyed the root of sin. There is just one little catch for us, and that is to become born again. We need to be born of water, which is the natural birth, to get this experience. Then the second birth is the born again experience that gets us into the kingdom. I want to put up a scripture here, which is going to start off my message here. It's Luke 18, verse 1 to 8, out of the King James Version. And this is Jesus speaking, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men, and when he says men here, that means mankind, women included, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. In other words, not to give up. Why did he say that? Listen to the rest of the story here. So this is the parable now. Saying there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now this is coming from an unbeliever, from a wicked man. And the Lord said, then Jesus said, hear you, or understand what the unjust judge said. Understand that. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them quickly, speedily. Nevertheless, look what he puts in here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on earth? What does he mean by that? I'm going to continue here. So how much of a praying person have you become? Reflects also your faith on how deep your faith really is. Remember, all your prayers are faith. They're faith-driven. You don't see, but you believe. It's by faith you call out to Jesus. By faith you pray. Christians who pray are Christians who have faith. You're proving to yourself that you have faith. And the more you pray, the more of a deep faith and relationship we have. And I'm going to get deeper into that yet. Yeah, so show me a praying brother or sister, and I will show you a brother or sister who operates in faith. And you know that all that without faith it is impossible to please God. Now let's look at a king from the Old Testament here, Hezekiah. He prayed for a longer life. He received 15 years added to his life, and you can read the story in 2 Kings 20. This story is sort of more of a warning to be careful what we pray for, and I'll show you that. He did some very foolish works after that 15-year extension to his life. He got in the enemy king and boasted into the treasury and boasted of all the riches that he had gotten. And Isaiah, the prophet, had to actually come and rebuke him for that because God was not pleased with him. And then there was also something else that happened. You guys know of a king by the name of Manasseh. He was one of the most wicked kings in the kingdom of Judah that they ever saw there. If you can read his exploits and all he did in 2 Kings chapter 21. Guess when he was born? After those 15 years were extended. He became king when he was 12 years old. So he was born 3 years after that extension was given to Manasseh. So what is the moral of the story here? Be careful what you wish for or what you pray for. Make sure, be in tune with God and seek his will for your life. And you will see that even the little things that you think don't matter, they matter to him. So bring everything before him. Pour your heart out to him and he will answer your prayers. And I will also get into that part, how God answers prayers. And now I'm going to be going into some Bible verses about and encouraging you about prayer. In Philippians 4, verse 6, if you want to put that up, it says, don't be anxious about anything. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So it encourages you to pray. Pray about everything in your life. I want to share a little bit of an experience that I've had, just to encourage you. There's a book I read when I was a young believer. I think it was Brother Andrew, who was smuggling Bibles into Romania. And he had a car that he had brought to a mechanic to be fixed because something was wrong with it. And basically, the gist of the story is, the mechanic said, this car is not supposed to run. It didn't have an engine or something was completely shot with it. And yet he was driving it for years. He was smuggling Bibles, which today we would say, he was going against the government. But no, it didn't matter to him. He was doing the work of the Lord with a car that should not have run. Now back to my story. I was working on a truck engine once, and I was replacing my knock sensors, and I turned off one of the bolts that holds in the knock sensor. And then So I proceeded in drilling out the bolt. As you know, that's one way of getting it out. But my bit broke. And if anybody has ever had a drill bit break or a tapping die, then you know that you're pretty much heading down a road of pretty hard to replace, to get rid of that, because it's hard steel. You cannot drill that anymore. So after, I guess, having a few choice words, I decided to ask the Lord. So I said, Lord, you need to help me get that bolt out. I need to get it out. And I couldn't get it out. Remember, this bolt had turned off. It's in there. It's rusted in. And I go out there. I sit. There's quite a bit of a place to sit in that engine. So I was sitting there. I went down with my hand, and I turned it out by hand. Now, you can say it was coincidence, but I choose to believe that God did something. I don't know how. I don't care. And I have many stories like that where God intervened with little things, where he gave me the choice to say, oh, it would have happened anyway, or I say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for that. Even in my, initially, I didn't turn to him right away. I did my own ways of doing things. I was frustrated. Finally, I decided to call on him and ask for help. And he never, ever lets you down. It's a faith builder. If you have any stories like that, I encourage you to come up and share them, because it builds. We build one another up like that, because God cares for the little things that you do in your life. Don't think God is up there and just thinks about the big picture. He cares about the little details in your life. So everything that you do, bring it to the Lord. And again, I could share a few of those experiences that the Lord has been faithful over the years. And if the Lord seems distant in your life today, make a remembrance of all those things that he's done in your life and thank him for his faithfulness. Because sometimes we feel that God is far away. And in essence, that's when he is the closest. So they're faith builders. They build up your faith. And I'm not saying here, I mean, don't kid yourself that every prayer will get answered the way you think. Like, I've prayed for lots of things over the years where prayers didn't get answered. So much the same way where an earthly father doesn't give everything his child asks for. So we need to, because the father sees what's going to hurt or what's going to build you up. So he gives you things according to that. So going to another scripture here, Mark 11, verse 24. It says, therefore, I tell you, when whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. I'm going to explain this a little bit. So we're always prone to think that this pertains just to materialism. Jesus is talking about your current status, your situation you're in right now. He says, believe God, trust in him what your situation is, and your prayers will be answered. God is going to be faithful, and with thanksgiving, remember this word, thanksgiving. It's going to come up in a few more scriptures. With thanksgiving, thank God the situation that you're in, and he will turn your situation around. Your attitude has to change first. That's what will happen first. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought or as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Or that can, for groanings too deep that it can't be uttered. So in other words, this is praying in the Spirit. So sometimes we run out of words, so you pray in the Spirit. The Spirit prays, intercedes in a way where there is no interference anywhere. Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus speaking, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Now this is figuratively here. This does not mean you go into your room in your closet. This means you can pray right now and nobody will know that you're praying. That's in your room. Your door is shut. Your mind is shut to all other things and you communicate with the Father or with the Son. That's praying, shutting the door to all other things and praying to your Father who is in secret. Remember, he's also, you don't see him. You have that relationship with him, so it's all in secret, and you have that ability to do it in a room full of people where you can go into that secret place and pour your heart out to God and ask your Father, who is in secret, who will reward you. And this secret place or room is within you. So, and he will reward you openly. In James 5, verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your faults to one another. Big difference between faults and sins. I'll point that out to you. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man avails much. And why do I want to point out that the difference between faults and sins? Faults is your shortcomings. Sins you can only bring to Jesus. He's the only one capable of covering your sins. In Matthew 24, verse 26, verse 41, it says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And we all know temptation comes. So before you feel that temptation comes, whatever you're falling, whatever Satan knows that he can hit you with, you do this. You watch and pray that you may not enter into that temptation. And the Spirit indeed is willing. So the Spirit within you doesn't want to do it, but the flesh seems to fold like a cheap suit every time when those temptations come. In Colossians 4, verse 2, it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has to be part of your prayer life, because we know that what thanklessness did to the children of Israel when they were led out of Egypt in the wilderness. God almost destroyed them because of their unbelief and their lack of being thankful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." That means pray all the time. Give thanks in, and there is that thanks again. Give thanks in what circumstances? In all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So do you want the will of God in your life? This is it. I'm going to read it again. This is God's will for your life, that you rejoice always. What's your situation right now? Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Don't give up. Give thanks in all circumstances. Not some, in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We had an old pastor always come to our church, Pastor Jake Weeb. And he would always have these, what is four words, he says. Five words, well, he repeated one of them. He says, "Never, ever, ever give up." And he had us repeat that. And it's still, he might be gone now, but the words are still echoing. That we should never, ever give up. Scripture has them. And again, there is nothing more sure than Scripture. All your dreams, all your experiences will pass. You'll forget about them. But Scripture is sure. It's a sure word. So Jesus left us a model on how to pray. And we all grew up praying this prayer. But he didn't mean for us to repetitiously pray it. He meant pray after this manner. This is an example on how you pray. So after this manner, pray you. Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15. If you want to put that up, please. "After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father, which is in heaven. Holy be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So what is God's will for your life? You can read it right here. It should be part of your prayer. That his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do you think God's will is in heaven? And does he get his will? He gets his perfect will in heaven. There is no Satan to interfere. There is no saint to interfere. We have that to contend with. But God's will, his perfect will, is that his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is where? In heaven. And then the other one is, that's the next in line, is give us this day our daily bread. In other words, give us today what we need, our sustenance, our food, what we need to live. And something very important, if you don't do that, you're going to have a lot of unanswered prayers, is forgive us our debts as what? As we forgive our debtors. So in other words, if you have a grudge against somebody, I would advise you very, very strongly to forgive. And don't do it because I said it. Do it because this is what's required from the prayer that Jesus has given us. Laid down for us to do is that we need to forgive those who have hurt us. Forgive, because again, I've said that many times, unforgiveness is the poison that you're drinking, but you wish somebody else would die. And in verse 13, it says, "Lead us not into temptation." And this means do not allow us to enter into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and glory. Forever. Amen. We're going to look a little bit at Daniel. Daniel was a prophet who prayed. He was a praying man. So have you ever had an overwhelming situation in your life? One where all that is left to say is, when is God going to show up anyway? Is he gone? Daniel sure had those moments. Not only was it overwhelming for him, but it was beyond life and death. Imagine having a sleepover in a den of lions. But instead of asking God, "Where are you?" Daniel prayed otherwise, and God came to the rescue. Daniel did not get delivered from the lion's den before. He got delivered in the lion's den while he was going through it. He was, in fact, known in the Bible to be a man of prayer. You must look at prayer as a conversation with the Father. So let's imagine this. God is in your room, sitting on a chair. How would you talk to him? Daniel did this. He made his prayer more like a conversation with God. When we talk to someone, we exchange information and ideas. And by exchange, It means one thing is given and another taken. In this case, it means communicating. So when I speaking is giving and hearing is taking. So you're listening, that's part, that's the intake. You have to then listen. Prayer is intended to be a moment when we come before God and exchange words with Him. We offer Him our adoration. We make our confessions, share our gratitude, and make our petitions. Now here's the important part. We must learn to listen and to hear what He has to say to us. Be still and know that I am God, the psalmist said. How does God speak to us? Well, mostly God speaks to us through His word. However, there are exceptions, and I have to have had the experience. God does speak to us in different ways sometimes. I've had the experience where God spoke to me through an unbeliever. And the thing I was into as a believer, I shouldn't have been doing. And I knew very well in my heart, there was other warnings, even from my daughter, who was at the time maybe 5 years old, telling me, Daddy, you shouldn't be doing that. And I almost said, shut up, you shouldn't even be talking to me. But she said it anyway, and I basically ignored it. And I came to this one, they had a barbecue, I would say it was, and I was hanging out with an unbeliever there, and he turned to me and he said, you know, you shouldn't even be here. And that hurt. It hit me. He had no idea. A guy was drunk. And he turns to me and he says, you shouldn't be here. You know what? Jackass talked to some people in the Bible. Or should I say donkey for you guys who are... Bible says jackass. So anyway, God used a donkey to talk to a prophet, Balaam. So God used the drunk to tell me I shouldn't be doing what I was doing. And believe me, it did hurt. And I repented. I cried out to God for forgiveness. And that urge left me, whatever I was into. I'm not going to glorify sin, so I'm not even going to get into that. It's just something that I shouldn't have been doing. So, and then there was another time that God spoke to me that I was something involved in. And this I'll mention. I was involved in gaming. I was heavy into it, into a certain game. I mean, I was so involved in it every spare moment. It was like that movie that we watched one time where these guys were playing cards. Every spare moment. It was supposed to be watching the camp, and guess what they were doing? Playing cards. I felt like that a bit. Every spare moment that I had, I was playing this game. And one night, the Lord gave me a dream. And I woke up in the middle of the night from this dream, sweating. And I did not even have a doubt what that dream meant. And I never played that game again. Never had a desire. I tried years again later to play it. I never had another desire to play it. And again, this is for me. How God talks to you, be open to what He tells you. I'm not going to make rules now. Don't play this. Don't do that. That is personal between you and God. God treats us as individuals, not as a group where all the same rules fall on all of us. We have to be very careful with that. However, I want you to be pay very close attention what you give more time to. If you're giving too much time to things and taking away time with spending time with Jesus, that's idolatry. So be careful, be alert, and because we are quickly running out of time. And the Bible says we should always watch and pray. So now let's suppose, I'm going to get into a story here. Suppose your spouse, your best friend, just talked to you for 30 minutes, spilling their hearts out to you, asking you for help or guidance in a situation, and then they just walked away and didn't let you answer. Think about that. You just did, poured everything out to them, but you did not even stick around and wait for an answer. This is exactly what you're doing when you're asking God and not giving Him a chance to answer. You need to be still sometimes and listen. What is God trying to tell me? So be patient in those parts. Have the courage to wait and want to know the truth of what God wants to tell you. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth about our situation, about our life. Because if that happens, then it's very hard for God to give us truthful answers, especially if we do not want to know the truth about our situation. So I'm going to give you, like we're all, a lot of us are parents here and we pray for our children. And not getting results, especially if they're wayward children who are living for the devil. And you have brought them up in the Lord. You have taught them in the Lord and they went awry. Their lives are not pleasing to God. So I'm going to give you this advice. Mothers, and this is more pertaining to mothers because fathers have a little bit of a harder, they tend to pray more to the point and know how to pray. Mothers' hearts are softer. They don't want their children to be hurt. So this is more towards mothers, but does not exclude fathers, however. So mothers, are you praying for a wayward child and getting no answer? Well, simply change the way you pray. Quit praying for God to protect them while praying to God to bring them back to Him. It's one or the other. You can't have both ways. God is always going to honor you praying for their protection, so He can't touch them. You're praying a protection over them while you're asking Him to turn them, please bring them back to you. Well, sometimes there are some harsh conditions that need to happen for them to come back to you. That's just the reality. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. So pray according to that way, and you will get results, and you will not be disappointed. So quit praying for God to protect them while praying to God to bring them back to Him. So change the way you pray. Pray this way: Lord, you have your way with him or her, and fully trust God for the results. He will not disappoint you. I guarantee you. But just like the prodigal son, it turned out good. So yes, there will be heartaches. There will be misery. A time maybe even with the pigs for the one, wayward one. However, maybe even a few anxious moments for you, wondering about the outcome. But be of good cheer. This story has a beautiful ending. You can read about that ending with the prodigal son. Yeah, he did have his heyday for a while with the righteous living. Then it turned into living with the pigs. Then it turned into, what am I doing here? I could be at home with my father. I will just ask him to be a servant. And they have all the food they want. And the father, seeing that, crying his heart, as without even him being on his way home already, ran out to greet him and gave him everything, the best he had. And this is a beautiful ending. So I'll have one more final scripture here. And this is a scripture that's one of the biggest warnings concerning the times that we're living in. It's coming out, it's out of Luke 21, verse 36, out of the King James Version. It says, "Watch you, therefore, and pray always." So how often are you supposed to pray? Always. "That you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass." Now I have to stop here and ask the question, what things? Just before that, Jesus was talking about the tribulation, what's coming. There is a great tribulation. I'm not talking your tribulation, trials and tribulations of this life. I'm talking about the great tribulation. Time of Jacob's trouble. It's coming. But Jesus says here that you're supposed to watch. You're supposed to pray always that you may be accounted worthy to do what? To escape that. So there is a condition for you escaping the time of Jacob's trouble, which is the 7-year period of a trouble that this world has never seen and will never again see. That's how bad it's going to be on this planet. You do not want to be here. And if you do this, this is not me saying it. This is what Jesus is saying. "Watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and shall come to pass, and to beware to stand before the Son of Man." That's where you will be. And this is my encouragement to you as fellow believers, that we will start changing our world, the world that we're living in, your workplace, by prayer. Cry out. Instead of criticizing somebody, try praying for him. Do opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Instead of complaining, try prayer. Try something other than what we have not been getting results, except it's declining and getting worse and worse. Let's try to change the way we do things. And the first thing that I would recommend that we should try changing, and this is coming from my own self to you, that I practice also what I'm preaching here. I do exactly that. I cry out to God all the time and ask him Do I make mistakes? Absolutely. Nothing is different between me and you. We all make the same mistakes, but we can change the way we do things. We can encourage one another. And if I want to encourage you, if there's results from this that happen in your life, that you see some changes, come up and share them. Whether it's 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, be part of the body of Christ that encourages us, one another, and uplifts one another, because we are in this together. This fight is a fight where we will all one day hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And with that, I pray that the Lord will give you the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring your prayers to fruition, that you will have results, and things will start changing around in our workplaces and in our work areas and at home and abroad, in Jesus' name.